Hey guys, we're going to keep it moving here at the Summit with an interview with someone I met recently and I've become a huge fan of, Jen Miles. She's someone that's had success in the corporate space and took those business learnings and has really applied it to the work that she does helping churches, especially multi-site churches. And in this interview, she's going to be talking about how to use paid advertising to complete the customer journey. Guys, this is a really good interview. I hope you enjoy. Hey everyone, Alejandro here with Jen, and man, I am really pumped about today's interview, and I'll tell you why shortly, and then I'll tell you exactly why I'm so excited about it. But we've gotten to know each other recently, like super recent, and I've just been so impressed. We had a chat a few days ago, and I just got to say, really appreciate all that you do for the church. You know, with those may not know, like, you had a background in the business world too, which is very impressive. IBM, I believe. And so I'm just glad to get to connect with you, and so glad that you jumped on the Summit.
Yeah, it's been great. I'm glad it was a last minute opportunity, and it was great getting to talk to you and connect and hear a little bit about your heart. So
yeah, good. Awesome. So want to jump right into this. What is your number one piece of advice, social media advice for churches?
Yeah, the number one piece of advice I would really give a church is to focus on the journey of your attendee. Every time I talk to a church, one of the biggest things I tend to hear is numbers. And that's not really the focus of the church. The focus of the church is to make sure that we are leading people to Christ, and we are discipling them to lead to into life change, really. And so I always talk to churches about, what's your customer journey? Once they walk in the door, what's the next step you want them to take? And that could be different for every person. It could be that they just need to be in community. It could be that they need to get deeper into the Word. And so understanding who the person is that walks in your door and what those next steps look like.
Yeah, it's so true. I think you see churches and most businesses, so it's not just the church, don't feel bad about this, but most business will spend the majority of their budget focusing on getting people through that top of the funnel or in the door, right? But they rarely spend any budget, if any, on keeping people, engaging with people, learning, you know, the layers that people, all about them. And so really understanding this, I'm really excited about the buyer's journey. It's very, very fascinating. And I'm just glad that folks like yourself that have some real business sense and experience can really add a lot of value to churches that are kind of just thinking, like, I'm going to throw postcards out there just to get people to Easter and hopefully they stick. You know, let's do a big Christmas program or big children's program, VBS, and let's get parents to come as a result, right? So can you talk a little bit about what that looks like if you were to kind of walk a church through? Because I know you work with some major churches. You focus on multi-site campuses, which is really cool that you do that. And just curious, like, how that would work if, like, I'm a 300-member church, and, you know, we've been guilty of that, Jen. And where do we start walking through this process?
Yeah, and so the first thing that I really introduce a church to when I start working with them is what the customer journey even looks like in the business world.
That's great.
And then how you relate it to the church. And so let's just talk about that for a minute first.
Amen, yeah.
Business world, there's a customer journey, and they call it cold, warm, hot. Cold is someone who's never heard of you before, and your goal in that cold funnel, part of the funnel, is to gain awareness. You want them to understand who you are. You want them to start to really explore what your values are and just get them to set foot in the door. And so once they set foot in the door, that's where they move to the warm part of the funnel. And the warm part of the funnel is where they're now kind of testing the waters. They want to see how you engage with them. They want to see a little bit more about what your values are. This is like that first month of church experience. Let's go for 4 weeks and see what's their worship like? What's their message like? Those kind of things. And then at that point, if they decide to stay, they move into the hot part of what the business funnel would be. And that hot part is really like the evangelist. They start to share the church with others.
Love that.
And they your microphone into the community. that's the cold, warm, hot awareness, interest, evangelist of the church, as far as the customer journey for the church goes. So I always talk through that and what that looks like in a community.
No, that's amazing. And I think it sounds so, for me, like simplicity is such a hard thing to do.
Right.
Foundational things, it just doesn't seem cool, right? But to me, it's like, if you can get really simple, simple's like, simplicity is like one of the hardest things to do for designers and designs. Like, I talked to a lot of designers, like, it just, it's, they over-design, and how can I make things simpler? I think when it comes to that journey, getting connected to a church, what do you think about that process being super simple? And like, what are the most effective ways to get someone to go from that cold to warm versus, it could be very difficult for church, for people to get connected to a church. So how do we use social media, I guess, or paid advertising, which I'm really excited that you are very involved with as well. What does that look like?
Yeah, so it looks a few different ways depending on the church. And one of the things that I work with a church on is to understand what they call a customer avatar. And in the church
Love
world,
it.
That is your attendee.
Yeah.
What are their interests? What are their struggles? What does their community look like? Who are the people that they associate with? And in the church world, it's easier to get someone to attend if they already know someone attending.
That's good.
And so
I love that.
Talk about media. It's actually not about like the cold call, if you will. It's about empowering the people who are already attending your church to invite. And so a lot of times I'll encourage a church to use social media to empower the people that are already on their page.
Love that.
Create some invite graphics, create some wording for them, and then encourage them to share it and put it on your own social media in a way that they can turn around and share it and invite. You still do the, hey, we have a Falls Festival coming up, because that's
right.
What's coming up, right? We have Easter coming up. We have Christmas coming up. We still focus on inviting people in that cold part of the funnel, but it's really more about empowering your evangelists to invite people. So that's really the focus for me when I'm looking at social media.
And the cool thing, like when you talk about that, it just made me think right away of like Facebook. Like you can see friends of friends or people interacting with pages. You talk about like the paid advertising. How does paid advertising, when it comes to the church and social media, what does that look like in the process of the buyer's journey? The avatars, and I know Facebook is a phenomenal way to really start to target those personas.
Right.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on how you're using paid advertising. This is why I get really excited, because I think the 101 stuff's out there and it's awesome, and we've talked about some 101 stuff, but I'm really, really excited to talk about another advertising ninja like yourself.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about what most churches spend and what those.
That'd be fantastic.
A lot of people that come to me, they say, how much do I have to spend to get traffic? And the answer is it varies depending on what your goals are.
Mm.
The first thing is, if you are willing to apply for the Google grant, it gives you $10,000 of search money right off the bat every month. It really equates to $329 a day. And if you're using it right, you still may not spend all of it, because if you're using it right, you're using it for your local community first, which is about 10 to 15 mile radius, is about people, how far people drive. And then you're using it on high quality ads. So people who are looking for your denomination, people who are looking for the types of ministries that your church provides.
Yeah.
And so you're focusing on Google Grant first. I always say start there.
Smart.
It's free for you. And you get your foot in the door with Google. So the nice thing about Google ads is when you do that, it goes on mobile. And we all know today, 3/4 of searches are going to happen on device. And when you do it correctly and you link it to your Google location page or your Google place page or business, whatever they're calling it today, because they keep changing it.
Yeah.
You actually have that information that points straight to a map. It points to your reviews. It points to your hours. It points to all this other information so they can call you. They can ask questions. And so that's always where I say start. From there, you've got $329 a day now working for you in that avenue. And you'll probably spend, let's say, $50 a day in reality.
Mm.
then I say, okay, let's start with Facebook next, because that's where almost all of your attendees are going to be.
Right.
And depending on the church and their budget, I'll say just start with $10 a day, even
Love
if it's
it.
Only $10, start with something. Cold advertising on Facebook right now is running anywhere between 10 to, I've seen 70 cents,
yeah,
depending on market, per click. And so doing $10 a day gets you roughly, oh, anywhere between 300 and 700 impressions for relevant people.
Right.
And so that's typically what I say start with, is $10 a day. If you can, I have churches that are doing $250 a day.
Yeah.
It really depends. And I actually find the more you spend, the less return you get. It becomes more expensive because Facebook is actually charging you more because your audience is different. And so start with $10 a day. From a cold audience perspective, you can actually see the demographics of the people who like your page.
Right.
Start doing advertising with the demographics that are already on your page. Start doing advertising with, what I always set up first is I set up one campaign that is simply friends of people who like the page
Smart.
That I'm in. And that's it. I don't put any other on it. It's just friends. And it lets them see that they're connected when they see the ad. And so it works really well from that perspective. We all look at that as a review or as
100%.
A network.
Yep.
Right. So start there. From there, so like a great example is we just set up some fall festival ads for a church. We did people who are friends of people who like the page.
Yeah.
And then went out. Facebook has the ability to actually divide by children's ages, parents who have kids who are 0 to 2, 2 to 5, 5 to 8. And so you can really target, especially kids ministries, that type of thing. You can do the same thing with life events. You can do people who have just gotten engaged,
right,
people who have just gotten married. So there's all this kind of targeting you can do based on what the ministry is that you're trying to market.
No, I think that's amazing. Like, the Google grant is just a game changer. Like, I actually thought it was only for nonprofits until you and I first started chatting back and forth. I think a lot of churches probably think that because I was actually told by a nonprofit that has a Google grant that I don't think churches get it. So I'm like, I never thought about that. So that's some really good information. And I know you walk through that with churches. And so we're going to talk a little bit later about how folks can connect with you, because that's $300-something a day that Google's going to give you, which is fascinating, right? So when someone types in Sacramento Assemblies of God Church or Sacramento Christian Church or Sacramento Charismatic or whatever it is, right? Like, you can find that perfect audience, which is pretty fascinating. And then two,
might as well use it.
Might as well use it and start to see, like, I have a friend of mine I worked with back in the day. He had these little touch cards. And people would always, like, he would always put, like, if someone came from Google, he would always take pictures of them because that, you know, I know he knew I helped him with, like, SEO stuff or Google. And the cool thing at the bottom, there was, like, a check mark, date that gave my life to Christ. And it's like, we got to stop for a second and go, like, this is cool. This is a summit. This is, hope people are getting some value. But at the end of the day, like, there is someone that's life, and the people that they are, their family and that future, like, someone's life was radically changed as a result of, like, free money out there that Google's hooking you up with. That's what really, really excites me about this stuff. Yes, we can get all technical and social media, but at the end of the day, man, it's about seeing lives change by God's goodness, man. And that's what excites me. And so the second thing, which is so fascinating, which you are just so far ahead of a lot of people when it comes to paid advertising. Like, talking of the Facebook ad plus the avatar that you talked about, to me is like the 1-2 punch. If you can figure out maybe 2 to 3 personas in someone's church, we're targeting, you know, 30 to 35 people with kids of 3 to 5 or what have you, that like Kerry Jove or Lincoln Brewster or Hillsong, you know, Darlene Check or what have you. Like, you can get so specific. And what have you found when it comes to specificity versus being so general? I'm sure you worked with a lot of churches that just, like, spray and pray.
Yeah, we do. The way that I do marketing has really evolved in the last 18 months, especially as the demographic technology has improved
on
Facebook, It really did used to be, let's just throw spaghetti on the wall and hope something sticks. And today we still do a little bit of that. The reality is that is cheap. I mean, when I can spray spaghetti on the wall and it costs me 10 cents a click, there's something to that if
It's true.
1% to 3% stick.
Right.
Especially when I'm super, super focused and I've got a demographic that I know is the right fit and it's costing me 70 cents a click. There's something to that difference, right? And so typically what I'll do is I'll work with a church and we will start really specific, but at the same time, we will also start really general. And we'll run it for a little while. We'll take the money 50-50. And as we start talking a little bit about how this actually looks in that journey and how advertising looks, let's just, for ease of money, let's just say $10 just because it's a
Yeah,
round
that's
number.
perfect.
So I will take 50%, I'll take 50% of it or $5, and we'll do that for cold advertising. From there, we'll say, okay, let's take $2.50 of that and let's be really focused and really specific.
Like
And
that.
then the other $2.50, and let's just throw a bunch of stuff out there and let's just
Such a
see
good
what sticks.
idea.
Watch it for a few weeks and let's see where the return is. And we might even say there's actually a different demographic that is clicking on those general things that maybe we didn't think that was part of our avatar, but it turns out it is. And let's create some more specific ads for that avatar. So it's a really kind of good test bed to see what works and what doesn't. So now we have $5 to cold ads. That still leaves me five.
That's so
I then
good.
another $3, and I focus on retargeting what that warm audience would be. And so in that regard, it's people who have been to my website, people who have clicked on very specific pages, who have maybe filled out information. I always kind of encourage a church if there's a way to collect emails. I know a lot of people hate email marketing, but in today's day and age, that's one of the ways you get in front of people. And
100%.
so it's worth connecting and it's worth asking for that information and being really honest in what you're going to do with it. Say, we're going to send you four emails over the next 4 weeks and we're going
Love
to
that.
introduce you to our church. At the end of the 4 weeks, you can choose to continue receiving emails or not, but be really upfront with what you're doing with it. So we have that $3. Let's go back to the $3 on remarketing. And we are anyone who's been to our website and we're really focused. Let's say I want to talk about kids ministry. I'm only going to run it to people who have been to the kids pages on my website.
That's
We want to talk
awesome.
men's ministry. We're only going to put it in front of people who have been to the men's page on my website. Now, men and women are a little different. Sometimes they'll say if they've been to the website, if they're that gender, let's go ahead and target them because it makes sense, right? And then I take that last $2 and I focus it on my evangelists, my hot audience, because I want them to realize what's going on as well. And the reality is especially when you talk about Facebook and social media, Facebook is a pay to play. And if you want your post to be in front of people, you need to be spending money. And so I'll take that 20% of my marketing budget and I'll use it on my hot audience. And I'll do things like, hey, don't forget Falls Fest is coming. But instead of just saying that, I'll say, have you invited your neighbor or have you invited
That's
your.
good.
And I'll provide in the ad the verbiage they need to invite that person
No
with them.
way. That is so good.
And so it just is, it's so hard today. People don't want to talk about religion because it's such a hot topic. And so providing them some verbiage that say, hey, my church recommended I invite someone. You want to go with me? I'd love to have you. I mean, simple stuff, right? But we don't think about giving those words to people because we do it every day. Other people, if you're just an attendee, you're not necessarily thinking about how do I invite my friend? Give them the they need to do it. And so that's my breakdown. 50% for cold, 30% for warm, 20% for hot.
I
So.
think that's a great framework. I might have to have a graphic created or something for that. That's pretty good. So I love, can you give this insight, completing the buyer's journey through paid advertising? I just love that. What does that mean? And what do churches need to start thinking about to accomplish that? I mean, a lot of it is what you just talked about, but can you expand on that?
So let's talk a little bit. So when I talk about completing the customer journey, the reality is that we are a numbers-focused society. And in today's day and age, you really can measure some of this stuff. Now, when I say that, measurement is not the end all be all, right?
Yep.
Seeing life change is really what we're
Amen.
focused on. And sometimes you cannot quantify that.
Yep.
But you can get a picture over time of how your attendees are doing based on some numbers. If I am doing a cold ad, do I have 10% of people clicking through, or do I have 5%? Of those 10% clicking through, how long are they spending on my page? Are they
Yeah.
running away immediately, or are they looking at two or three pages? Okay, well, those are the people, the ones who are looking at two or three pages, that I now want to move into my warm audience and say,
Yep.
okay, we'd really like to invite you in the door. And that could be church online is my door, or that could be my physical campus is my door. And hey, when you come, let us know how you found us. So I can kind of
Right.
qualify campus that is a number I'm looking for. It's working or it's not.
That's good.
In addition to that, I'm looking at from a warm audience perspective now as I'm walking through the customer journey, I can advertise to people for things like life groups, for things like
Love
children's
it.
ministry. And I can again quantify how many people are looking at that information. And if I'm really intentional about it, I can even set up like RSVP forms. I can set up like the pre-release. Fall's Festival is still on my mind, right? So those pre-release forms for the
Yeah.
children's activities, I
Yeah.
can track all that stuff through technology and say, hey, of the 100 people we had click, 20 of them filled out the form. So we now know that we are getting more people in the door because we're seeing this very slow funnel effect of people engaging
Yeah.
and moving that funnel. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking at. I mean, it's not true funnel, it's not true customer journey, but
Yeah.
it's still each touch point is an interaction and is
100%.
something for them.
No, that's really good. And the funny thing is, like, that knows numbers, it's like, we got to be careful with that. And I totally get that. For me, I believe that numbers at least tell some sort of story of health. But the funny thing, if you look at the Bible, it does talk about the 12, the 120, the 400, and the 3,000. Like, 5,000 people were fed. Like, the Bible talked a lot about metrics and numbers. And I think for the church, and when it comes to social, because I talk a lot about this, and I know you do too, is think of these numbers. Don't be afraid of them. Just look at it as a part. As a, like you said, a picture paints a picture, and it tells part of that story. And the amazing thing, I think, are the insights and metrics that you can get. So I want to ask you, what are the things that you look at when it comes to the metrics, the data? What are you looking for to make informed decisions in the future? Because that's what I think, like, a lot of churches will spend $20,000 for Easter on print. And they just don't know. They just, like, you want to talk about throwing stuff against, like, you threw it, like, over the, you don't know where it went. You just hope. And so can you talk a little bit about how, with social, there's insights, there's metrics, and then how you look, what do you look for to make informed decisions in the future, spending more money?
And so I look at a few things, and it really depends on how much time you have to dig into those metrics as far as
Yeah.
what you're gonna, right? And
Right.
so from a level, the things I always look for is what is my cost per click or what is my cost per action? Because sometimes
Okay.
the action page like, sometimes the action is looking at a video, right? So it's what's the cost
Yep.
per action?
Yep.
The next biggest thing I look at is what was the percentage as far as the people who actually interacted with the ad? And so in the Google world and in the Facebook world, that's called cost per, well, not cost per click, click-through rate. And so from click-through rate, anything above 5% is really
Okay.
good for it.
Perfect.
Typically, I see between 1 and 3,
Yeah.
depending on the spaghetti audience, sometimes is 0.57, it's
Right,
low.
right.
That really good audience, 5%, sometimes even 7% or
Yeah,
higher.
that's
So I
amazing.
look at what that cost, that click-through rate is to say, these are the kind of ads we need to be running in the future with this demographic. And what about this ad was different than past ads so that we can learn from and apply it to the next one. The other thing that I really look at, cost I'm not so concerned with, it's more that cost per interaction and more that click-through rate because it depends on the church. I mean, some churches can spend thousands and some churches can spend 100, and
Yeah.
so that's more about your budget. It's
Yeah.
more about click-through click-through rate. It's more about cost per click. And then the other thing is I look at the demographics themselves, because sometimes what I find is that I've got one set of ads that does really good with men who are ages 45 to 64.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, next time this is the demographic we're going to use for this kind of ad. And let's not even bother with these other groups right here that nobody clicked on. And Facebook and Google both give you all of that information on the campaign review. The other thing that I'll look at is the way that I have my campaign set up, I can actually see cold, warm, and hot and how people actually progress through campaigns. And so I'll look at percentages. I'll look at this cold campaign resulted in 5% of people for this warm campaign. And that's really good. Let's keep that campaign going. But this particular cold campaign, I'm getting a lot of clicks on. It's not costing me a lot, but I'm getting a lot of clicks. But no one is showing up in my warm campaign at all.
That's good.
And so it's not a good campaign to keep running.
Right.
Those are really the big numbers. I do look at clicks as far as Google goes. But what I care about on Google is the unique visitors. Because you have one person go 20 times, and they're going to count as 20 clicks.
Right.
I care more visitors. The other things that I look at on Google, which this probably applies more to church online than it does to a physical church, but I look at frequency and recency, and those reports are buried in Google Analytics.
Yeah.
But I think they're really important, because if you are getting 100 visitors, but only 3 of them come back more than 3 times, it's probably not very effective. And so I look at campaigns, and I look at what how they relate to frequency and recency as well. I'll set up custom segments specifically so I can look at that type of stuff. So that's a little bit more advanced.
A ninja. No, you're a ninja. I have to bring you back and do a webinar with you or something. This has been a treat. So when it comes to social media, what are some what do you want to leave people with? What do you want to inspire? We talked about the tactical side. How would you encourage, what would you say to encourage or empower someone when it comes to social?
Yeah, so I think you were listening today as well. So Nils and Steve Diller were talking today at the Future of the Church Summit. And they are on opposing sides of the fence as far as what the future of tech is with the church, right?
And so I didn't here's hear this. I want to know about that.
Oh, yes.
What are the opposing sides? I'm interested. What are the sides?
Okay, so the opposing sides, Neil Smith is very firmly in the camp that church online is community, that it develops true community.
Okay.
Steve Dilla is in the camp that you can use technology as a tool, but it is not community. You do not build face-to-face relationship. And both sides of that are very valid. And so here is what I will leave you with. I'm in the middle of that. I believe that technology is a tool, and it is a platform to you to reach people who would never set foot in your doors and to begin to build a relationship that just starts a dialogue. And one of the things that Leonard Sweet talks about is it's called nudge, and just bit by bit, nudge by nudge, we will help people see the gospel. Well, actually, by nudging them, we will allow them to see how God works in their lives already. And that is what social media does, is that you can take things that you are sharing, and in some ways it casts light on what God is already doing in their lives, and it is a lens for you to do that. That's what I'd leave you with, is use social media as a tool that allows you to cast vision into what God is already doing in someone's life. Don't cast that for them. Allow them to see it. So it's very interesting when you talk to Nils and talk to Steve. You're going to have this conversation. Put the two of them on together. And
I know. I know. I heard amazing things about... It's Steven or Steve?
I think it's Steven.
Okay. I've heard amazing things about him. I'm a huge fan of Nils. Nils is a really sharp guy. And I don't know where I would stand. I might be, as of right now, a little bit in the middle. I will say that I feel like social media done right should enhance that live in real life community interaction. And so I just haven't spent a ton of time. And that's where Nils and other folks like yourself are experts when it comes to online church. I haven't spent a ton of time with that, but I'm going to go think about it and ask people. It's kind of what I do. I'm like, I don't formulate my opinion. I just want to hear what people say first. But that's what's cool about socials. Like, there's so many of these conversations happening, and I think we're all, you know, folks like yourself and Niels and the people that are watching, like, are formulating how can we best leverage this social to advance the gospel and, you know, figure out those other weird things later, right?
And the reality is we're still kind of behind the eight ball when it comes 100%. To social media, right? I mean, we're probably 5 years behind where others are.
Yep.
And so understanding how social causes are using social media
yeah.
and bringing them to church, it's not end all be all. It really is a tool. But how we leverage that tool to build community both online and in person is what the end goal is as far as I'm concerned for social. It's a combination of everything.
Here's what I'll say. I can see where both sides. For people, a lot of people, especially millennials, it's about belonging. And so if I'm watching a church online and I donate, you know, my, you know, $100, $200, and they start telling me a story of how they planted a church or a school in Africa and how this 7-year-old boy now gets to attend school first person, like I would feel connected to community, or at least belonging to something. And so I'm just like going to be so fascinated about this for the next month. But anyway, so what's your favorite social media platform? Like, which one do you use the most and why personally, not for your clients or churches that you work with? What do you love?
This is a trick question, 'cause I actually don't really use social media.
Okay.
So I am, Instagram is probably my favorite because it's so easy. And in the community, it's where everybody is. Because I travel full time, everyone takes pictures where they are. It's share the beauty you are today. Mm. And so Instagram's a natural platform for that.
That totally makes sense. So tell folks where they can find you online and learn more a little bit about you. I did mention earlier, you do some stuff with multi-site. That's like a big focus of yours. And so can you tell folks a little bit about what you're up to and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so you can find me on any social media platform and my website with the short name Jen A. Miles, so JenAMiles, and then .com for my website. And then really what I do is I help churches leverage marketing, whether it's email marketing, pay-per-click marketing on Facebook or Google, in order to fulfill that customer journey. And so as I said, I focus primarily on multi-site. I do free consults for the first consult. Yeah. So any church can call me and say, hey, what do you recommend based on where I live, where my church is, what our growth is? And I love to talk about it. Personally, I'm back in school for my doctorate. And
that's
so
awesome.
A lot, I look at social media and the church is actually changing day to day based on what I'm learning. And so what I've told you today may not be what I tell you next week, simply because I'm learning very quickly how things change.
That is so true. It's like when you bought a Dell computer and it like literally was obsolete the moment that it got to the house, right? So social media is changing. Platforms have changed. I'm sure the next conversation is probably another darling of social media coming out. But Jen, really appreciate your knowledge and you know, the willingness to come here and share your heart and not be afraid to talk about the business side of the church and the metrics and the insights, and because that is very scary for a lot of churches. So I really do appreciate that.
Absolutely. I loved being here. So thanks for inviting me to come talk to you.
Awesome. Well, make sure to connect with her. We'll put the links below. She will help your church. Thanks a lot, Jen. And thanks for everyone for watching.
Thanks so much.